Cosmos Voyager Radio. Self-development radio for the open mind. Interviews with leading-edge authors and speakers, psychic phenomena and the unexplained, UFOs, extraterrestrial encounters, government cover-ups, alternative healthcare, new technologies. And now, Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio.
And this is Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio. Glad to be with all of you today. Joni Carroll is, of course, with us. Hi, Joni.
Hi, Bruce.
Good to have you on board. Pamela Osley is our guest. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what we're going to go be in for today?
Looking forward to this. We're going to be talking to psychic counselor and author Pamela Osley as our guest today. She's written a couple of books, and I know, Bruce, you wanted to touch on belief systems and manifesting, and we'll also have our regular features, weird news, also good news
good
to counter
news.
The bad news. Yep. Should be a great show today. Looking forward to it.
And some weird news. You have some weird news from the internet, is that what
you're... non-conventional.
Non-conventional
we'll take a look at
news.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's find out if Pam's still there. Are you still there, Pam?
I'm here.
Ah. Joni, tell us a little bit about Pam Osley.
It would be time to introduce you now, Pam, since you're still here.
Well, good job.
Yeah, thank you. Pam is a psychic counselor, and she's also an author. She's written two books, Life Colors and Make Your Dreams Come True. Pamela Osley is our guest on Timeless Voyager Radio, and it's great to have you with us today.
It's great to be here.
Pam, tell me, after these two books, is there another book coming out?
Why does everyone keep asking me that? It's making me suspicious here that I've got another book I'm supposed to do.
Let's review real quickly the two books. There's Life Colors. Tell our listeners what that's about.
Life Colors is about the 14 different aura colors that I see, and it goes through a description of each of the personality types with each different aura color. And it also lets people know about their each aura color's priority on the planet, their reason for being here, what they're like in relationships, compatibility, which careers they're going to be best at and most drawn to, health potential, health problems, money, how they handle money, all kinds of things about the personality type of each aura color.
Okay, and we've, of course, covered that many times in shows, and I know that a lot of listeners, of course, love the idea of getting their auras screened by you and learning more about themselves. Did you ever have your aura done by Pam?
Absolutely. And I love buying your book as a gift. It's always amazing to me how it'll just light someone up. So I think it's really exciting to take a look at your life and what your life colors mean. And the book Make Your Dreams Come True, though, that's on my list. I don't think I've got that one. Tell
Make
me a little bit about it.
Make Your Dreams Come True is new, and it's basically about how our beliefs will basically create a reality. It's how it affects our perception, how it changes our lives. And if you want to change your life, you take a look at your beliefs and change your beliefs. So it's a book showing you how to discover what your beliefs actually are about life, about yourself, about reality, how to discover the beliefs, how to change the beliefs, and how to create the beliefs, how to have positive beliefs in your life.
So let me ask you this, Pam, right away. What is a belief? It's obviously not a thought, so tell us what a belief is.
Well, it's basically thoughts that are repeated over and over again or just absolutely accepted as the truth. A thought that's accepted as true turns in becomes a belief.
You know, this is perfect because I've been practicing this idea in my own life. Which comes first, the reality or the belief that it's reality, and so it perpetuates itself?
Right. Well, actually, scientists have now proven through quantum physics that there is no way to measure an objective reality, that the observer always affects the outcome of any test, so that, you know, we can't measure an objective reality. So basically, all reality is a subjective experience. So it does actually begin with the beliefs, and it actually is perpetuated then with the outcome of those beliefs, which again reinforce the beliefs, which again make you believe that that's reality, and so your perception's affected by it.
Vicious circle. So if you're going to make your dreams come true, what I find gets in the way, I have a dream, something in particular that I would like my life to become, something I want to do, And yet, I seem to think about all the reasons why it can't happen. And her latest book, Make Your Dreams Come True, deals with your belief systems. And Pam, when I have a dream, something that I want in my life, I tend to think of all of the reasons why it can't happen. Is that a belief or is that just a negative thought?
Well, it's basically based on beliefs.
Okay.
A lot of us, probably most of us, if not all of us, have been raised to believe certain things about ourselves and what is possible. And we're very powerful, dynamic, creative beings. We stop ourselves for two reasons. One, our beliefs about what we believe reality is, are, you know, what's realistic, what's possible. And two, our beliefs about ourselves, how powerful we are, how creative we are, how intelligent we are, how poor, how fat, how thin, how beautiful. We stop ourselves based on our beliefs about ourselves.
Then the way to attack it is to figure out what beliefs I have and then somehow change them?
Right. Find out which beliefs you have that are serving you, and you can hold on to those beliefs. They're making you happy. And which beliefs are actually limiting you or sabotaging you, and finding ways to, and that's what this book is about, finding ways to change those beliefs so that you have beliefs that fulfill you, that create what you desire in your life.
Now, we've talked about this many times, and of course, you know that it's not that I'm not a believer.
No pun intended.
No, and you know that I operate this way. But when a person is working with the belief system that they have, my question is always: this thing is so deep, it is so
automatic.
Well, it's not just automatic, but it's in a realm that is very difficult to get to. Or at least I believe it's difficult to get to. Is it difficult to get to, or is it an easy?
Well, that's the key. Bruce, you just said it. You believe it's difficult. You believe it's that deep. I've noticed people coming.
Okay, well, what about the other people, though?
Well, I have thousands and thousands of clients, and I've watched it's different for each person.
Yeah.
Some people believe it's going to be very challenging to change their beliefs. It's really hard, but they tend to see their life that way. And other people, I've watched them come in, have a belief, and literally almost overnight change their beliefs. Well, let's look at this as an example. The entire country used to believe it was good to eat eggs. And then all of a sudden, there's this whole campaign out there that eggs cause high cholesterol, heart problems, it's really bad to eat eggs. Overnight, people changed their beliefs about eggs, and thousands of people stopped eating them. And that was a very quick belief to shift. Now, when we're talking, so some beliefs can be changed very quickly, very easily.
Okay, but now what about a belief like this? What about a belief like the fact that that there are or aren't extraterrestrials visiting the Earth on a regular basis?
Okay, what about that belief?
There's a small group of people that believe that they come, and there's a large group of people that don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does it take for a shift?
For a shift? Well, either one, actually seeing the evidence that this is happening, two, people being educated or opening their minds. It's basically people either considering that there's another option, that there's another realm going on or other possibilities, or basically mass consciousness, enough people finally realizing that there is, you know, this exists, and it shifts the mass consciousness just by weighting it more. So you're dealing with outer beliefs, a belief in, you know, whether or not there's extraterrestrials enough or not, versus inner beliefs that people have about themselves, if they're worthy, they're not good enough, they're stupid, they're bad people, whatever. So we're talking about a mass consciousness belief. Well, that's a good point, Bruce. The difference between personal beliefs and mass beliefs. If everyone believes what you do, it's a mass belief. If not everyone believes what you do, it's a personal belief. Personal beliefs are easier to change. Mass beliefs are more challenging to change because it's such a mass belief. It takes more people to finally shift a mass belief. For example, the belief in gravity is a mass belief. The belief that the world is round is a mass belief. But remember, there was a mass belief saying that the world was flat, and people believed that until enough people, they started seeing enough proof, enough evidence, enough people started believing that the world was round, and then the mass consciousness, the mass belief shifted also. It's the same with extraterrestrials. Right now it's personal beliefs, but there's a mass belief, at least there has been a mass belief that doesn't exist, but I'm seeing more and more evidence that people, the mass belief is starting to accept or believe that there is life on other planets.
Pam, if your belief system leads to an actual manifestation in reality, is that what you think happens? Is that what the book talks about?
Well, you know, it's funny because there really is no way to prove an objective reality. Everything is based on a subjective experience. And I know this sounds out there, but quantum physics is even proving that there's no matter, that there is no substance to a table or to a chair or to a floor. And yet the mass belief is we believe that it's here, so we're experiencing that. Your beliefs affect your experience. Your belief, in effect, create your reality.
It's so amazing because you've just opened up an entire creative realm where you could have life be anything you wanted it to be.
And that's exactly, you know, the most powerful creative people on this planet will say the same thing. I just believed it could happen. I knew that I was going to be famous. I hear Oprah even saying that. I knew when I was a child I was going to do something big and I was going to be famous.
And they didn't listen to people who said it couldn't happen.
Pardon?
They didn't believe or listen to people who said it couldn't happen.
That's right. Yeah, uh-huh. And people, they say that all the time. Well, I didn't know that it wasn't possible, so I just went ahead and did it.
I love that.
Now, of course, we have evidence of mass beliefs changing almost overnight, and I'm thinking about the Berlin Wall.
Right.
I mean, there was an example of a mass belief that that would be there forever. Well, not forever, but for a long time. And then all of a sudden, it began coming down, and the people who could have taken it down 20 years ahead, you know, before that, just took it down.
Right. Well, what we didn't see is that the mass belief behind the scenes, I'm sure there were lots of discussions over kitchen tables and in doorways and in people's homes where they were talking about how they wanted to shift it. But what happened with us, you know, we didn't see all that stuff going on. What we saw was the mass belief that, oh, yes, communism's still there. It's a threat. It's in power. We're going to go to war with them. And all of a sudden, when this all shifted and the wall came down very suddenly, all the way across, you know, the United States, for example, the relief, the belief, the ripple effect of that belief shifting was pretty much instantaneous.
All right, Pam Mosley is our guest. This is Timeless Voyager Radio. My name is Bruce Stephen Holmes. We're going to come back to Pam in a moment, but we want to talk about the weird news for a minute. I know, Joni, you are out there scouring the internet for the things that you find kind of interesting, and I thought I would ask you to relate to our listeners what you have found for today.
I think what we've been talking with Pam about is a perfect match to some interesting news about teleportation. Not exactly the type you see in Star Trek, but real teleportation could be less than a generation away. There was a report released earlier this week by Technical Insights that the first applications of teleportation will be in quantum computers, not human transport. And this is coming from scientists at Los Alamos National Laboratory.
What is a quantum computer?
He's looking at me and expecting me to explain.
I apologize.
Let me see if I can answer this. The aspect of quantum teleportation, you can move an object from point A to point B without it actually moving through the space in between.
Okay.
So, for instance, I could have a high-level government security computer that could send you an encrypted message, which could never be caught in between. No one could intercept it because it didn't go through space.
Now that they can do now.
Isn't that amazing? They're already working on that. Within 20 years, though.
Oh, 20 years.
within 20 years.
I thought maybe this was going to be soon.
Well, 20 years is soon. It depends on how you're looking at it. Unfortunately, if you want to be teleported to New York for dinner, don't expect that to happen. Even in the next 20 years.
Teleportation, okay. I'm actually disappointed now, but I'm also impressed.
You know. And speaking of our beliefs about UFOs, an object described as a great red light in the sky and as big as a battleship caused quite a mystery in Denmark. And this actually occurred in February, so just a few months ago. Pilots of a chartered plane flying some business executives from Sweden to Humberside Airport off the coast of Denmark reported seeing a long cylindrical object, and they described the underside of the jet becoming bathed in light. It was absolutely amazing. The Civil Aviation Authority confirmed the report of the sighting, but no one's looking into it, so it'll remain a mystery.
So these pilots actually saw this, made the report, and...
And the pilot is now currently on leave. and we're not sure when he'll return.
Part of the belief system we've been talking about here.
That's true.
That's very interesting. Anything else you came across today?
News of the weird. Oh, I have way, way, way too much.
Too much?
To give you tonight. You'll have to wait until tomorrow.
All right. When we come back, we are going to talk more with Pamela Ousley, our guest. Incidentally, if you want to check out some of the weird news, we do have that on the internet, too. We take these things and send them up there. So the website is www. I wonder who came up with this. Anyway, www. Oh, no, just three W's. TimelessVoyager.com.
Starts with the bad news that last week tornadoes ripped through Oklahoma City. That didn't stop the Del City High School from holding its senior prom over the weekend. Thanks to local businesses in the area who donated everything from formal wear to flowers, decorations, and food, the senior class at Del City High came together to celebrate not just a senior prom, but the fact that they and their families had survived and will rebuild. John Glenn back in his hometown this week for two special reasons. The former astronaut and senator is in New Concord, Ohio to donate his boyhood home to his alma mater, Muskingum College. The two-story house is going to be turned into a museum of 20th century American history. And obviously, Glenn has a lot to donate to that collection. The other reason, the oldest American ever in space was back on campus at Muskingum to watch his wife, Annie, give the commencement speech. She also graduated from the college. In fact, that's where they met. And when you're in the seventh grade, the shoes of a Supreme Court justice can seem awfully big to fill, but not for Rebecca Denhardig. She says Justice Sandra Day O'Connor's size 8.5 shoes fit her perfectly. She's 12 years old from Michigan and doing a school project on a role model. So she wrote a letter to the Supreme Court's first female member explaining that someday she'd like to follow in her footsteps. And what do you know, 3 weeks later, a shoebox and some background information arrived in the mail. And that's good news for a change. I'm Joni Carroll.
And I'm not Joni Carroll. Hey, that was really nice. Nice to hear good news for a change. Pam, what do you think of the good news?
I love it. I love it. It'll show you that the mass consciousness is not all so bad.
We could change the mass consciousness simply by shifting the focus of the media, couldn't we?
Oh, absolutely. That'll have a big effect on it.
And that's what we're trying to do, right?
Right.
Well, that is one of our objectives, yeah.
We are trying to do that. Pam, you talked about belief systems. Let's talk about how far belief systems can go. Now, is there a limit here?
No limits. No limit. The only limit we have is the limit of our imagination and what we believe is possible. So give us
now some of the extraordinary circumstances in your life. Let's not hear about the ordinary stuff. We hear about that on TV. People are trying to tell us how we become millionaires and all that. Does anybody talk about walking through walls or levitating? Let's talk about all of the other possibilities, because I guess according to what you've just said, the reason we don't levitate, the reason we don't walk through walls, the reason that we are whatever we are earthbound, so on and so forth, is because of our beliefs. Is that right?
Absolutely. You know what? It's very funny that you would bring that up, Bruce, because I have seen and witnessed for myself many amazing things, and scientists I just saw on, I can't remember if it was the Discovery Channel, the Learning Channel, they're talking about how time travel is possible, and they're already working on time travel. So that'll show you that we don't really have the limits that we believe that we've had, that they said that the time-space continuum is not what we expected it, you know, it's not what we have thought it was. I personally have witnessed psychic surgeons where I've sat 4 inches, I mean, my nose, 4 inches away from psychic surgeons sticking their hands right through my friends' bodies and pulling pieces out of the body. I've seen that. So
this is a good thing it's not TV right now.
So walking through walls, teleportation, beam me up, Scotty, time travel, to me, that is all absolutely possible. I mean, remember, we used to think that it wasn't possible to fly to the moon, that flight in itself wasn't possible, that, you know, underwater submarines, all of that stuff was beyond our conception, beyond someone's belief, and then someone else said, you know what, I think it's possible to have flight, I believe it's possible to have submarines, and that started the consciousness, that started opening up the ways for us to move beyond our limitations.
You mentioned psychic healing a moment ago. It seems to me that this type of work could go a long way toward people healing themselves, toward belief in cures for various diseases, almost to the point where your belief system could prevent the illness in the first place.
It's been my experience over the years that I've been seeing thousands and thousands of clients that health problems all stem from mental and emotional causes, anger, grief, different places that people store things in their bodies. Now, just taking it to that level, of course, if we shift our beliefs and our attitudes and our emotions, it affects our body. But how about taking it to the level of it's all just energy and thought anyway, and there's really, it's, if you take a piece of skin, you look at it under a microscope, what you're going to see is a lot of cells, but they're not even touching. There's a lot of space. They go into each cell. They find, you know, smaller particles. Then you find atoms surrounded by a lot of space. Then they go into subatomic particles. You know, they go into the atom and they see smaller particles, quarks, bosons, and a lot of space. What they're realizing is really it's all just energy, it's all just consciousness, and that our thought actually is affecting the form that these, that the quote-unquote atoms, energy, whatever, takes. And so if we can see it, that it's all just energy and that we're forming our bodies based on the perception we have of ourselves, what we think we're supposed to look like, that weight, that illnesses, that all of that has to do with our beliefs about what we look like, our beliefs about what's going to happen to us with illnesses and stuff.
Amazing.
Now, it's interesting that you say that, because I had a conversation last night with someone, and the question that was asked was, why is it that when you meet someone, they look a certain way, and then you get to know them, how they look changes? And I was suggesting this whole idea that not only, of course, as you mentioned before, quantum physicists say that the act of looking at or observing something changes that thing. Because, and you said before, that the whole thing is a subjective experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it appears to me, after all of that, that what we're perceiving is always coming from inside first, and then our perception changes. And so I guess my question is, if all of this is subjective and the whole thing is coming from inside, where does that put reality?
Well, let me give you another little analogy to answer that question, Bruce. You know that when you're having a dream, while you're dreaming, unless you're lucid dreaming, which is very rare for people, while you're having a dream...
Wait a minute, I can't let you go by now. You have to tell our listeners what lucid dreaming is.
Lucid dreaming is while you're dreaming, you know you're actually dreaming. You're very aware and you can control your dream because you're basically awake in the dream knowing that you're having a dream.
That's rare. You're right.
It's rare. Now the point I'm making is...
I always take control of those dreams, but I won't tell people what I do.
When you're dreaming... While you're in the dream, everything appears to be real. You can become afraid. You can start sweating because someone's chasing you. You can be happy. You can even laugh in those dreams. Everything in that dream appears real. It's not until you wake up that you realize that that was just a dream. Now, in this state of consciousness, what if it's the same thing, which quantum physicists are saying that it basically is, that in this state of consciousness, in this state of awareness, what we see is basically it appears real to us. We think this is reality. But what if when we change to another shift of consciousness, when we wake up from this one, we realize that this too was just a dream? So when you're having a dream, everything that's going on in that dream was manufactured by your thoughts, by your mind. You created everything going on in that dream. In this state of consciousness, same thing. You're creating everything that's going on in the state of consciousness. You're just not aware of it because... you think that this dream is reality.
Now, this is where you and I start our arguments, right? Because this is where I say to you, now we're talking, we have, what about the fact that you have a cooperative, subjective experience, meaning that the mass has a cooperative subjective experience, even if they're pretending. You know, like when I look at the color brown and I point it out, all of us, even though we may not really see the same color, we all have agreed on the color brown.
Uh-huh.
So we have collectively now isolated a color and then agreed upon it. So when you have this collective agreed reality, what happens? I mean, how do you change that?
Well, you notice people start changing that all the time. We had a collective agreement that the world was flat, and we had the whole experience that the world was flat.
Yeah.
And pretty soon somebody went, you know what, I don't believe in that experience anymore. I want to change the game. I don't believe in that anymore. And they started punching holes in that collective agreement.
But you know, when you talk to scientists, they'll say, what a silly, silly analogy to use. And I don't mean that personally. First of all, I'm not a scientist, so I don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is everyone will point to, well, when they finally had photographs from above the Earth, it was obvious that the Earth was round.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that impact? impact a belief system, it seems natural. If I say that, you know, that this is ice, and someone says, no, it's not, and I say, well, here, I'll describe it to you, and they say, I don't care what you tell me, it's not ice, and then I put it in their hand, and they feel that coldness, does that mean they have this miraculous change in their belief system? And the answer is they could. There's still a flat world society out there, you know? I mean, these same people have seen the pictures of the Earth, I suspect, so I don't know how they say the Earth is flat.
Well, watch this. We collectively believe that the world is round right now, and science, of course, has proof that the world is round. Remember also that the scientists had proof that the Earth was not moving, okay? They had proof of that.
Wait a minute. Which scientists had this proof?
Before, I want to say Galileo, and it's not Galileo, it's...
Copernicus?
I want to say Galileo.
Well, go ahead and say it.
What they did was that Galileo. They went to the top of a tower.
If you disagree, go ahead and call in. It's okay with us.
Scientists went to the top of a tower and dropped things to the Earth. And they theorized that if the Earth was moving, that by the time it landed to the Earth, it would be farther away. But what they discovered is that it had dropped exactly the same distance apart, you know, from where they dropped it. So they scientifically proved that the Earth wasn't moving by this. And they just didn't
wait a minute. This sounds ridiculous. If you're standing on a tower and the tower is connected to the Earth, then obviously if you drop something, no matter how long it takes for it to get to the bottom, it'll always be in the same position because both are moving. So it would seem like it didn't.
Yes,
move.
But at the time, that was their evidence that they used to prove their theory.
That was their scientific proof.
Okay.
It was wrong.
Okay, so we'll take this farther.
Hey, listen, I don't have any problem, you know, just sitting back here.
No, but this is good. So watch, Bruce. So right now, we supposedly have proof, undeniable proof that the Earth is round, but we don't know other dimensions yet. We have no, we have not gone into other dimensions. The Earth might not be round at all. It could just be the tip of the iceberg, and it actually goes into other dimensions that we haven't seen yet.
Well, I've always speculated that when they talked about the flat Earth in the first place, they were talking about a plane of reality. They were never talking about the Earth as it was.
That's right.
You know.
So we're shifting.
Where does that
leave us? We're shifting our perception in reality, which is now why we can have things like fax machines and internet and email, because we're starting to move beyond our perceived boundaries.
Pam Mosley is the guest. My name is Bruce Stephen Holmes. Joni Carroll is the other voice.
This one over here. And it's been a pleasure, and I still have a few questions I want to ask Pam. Can we do that when we come back?
Well, we're not going to. We have a few moments. Go ahead.
Pam,
Fit this one in 35 seconds.
I want to tie reality and belief systems.
She doesn't want to tie me up, at least.
I'll put a gag on you if you don't be quiet. I want to tie reality and belief systems into emotions. How do our emotions create our reality?
Basically, our beliefs affect our emotions. Our emotions are based on what we believe about ourselves, about reality, and about our thoughts. And so, therefore, the emotions then also put a charge on how we perceive our reality. So it first starts with belief, which affects emotions, which also affect our perception of reality.
So the thought comes first,
yes,
which causes the emotion and the belief.
Warning music there, warning music.
I have too many more questions to ask Pam. Our guest today, psychic counselor and author Pamela Osley. She's written two incredible books, Life Colors and Make Your Dreams Come True. Pam, it's been wonderful. I can't wait to get your new book.
It's not over yet. We'll be right. Joni Carroll, I kind of cut you off and gave you some wrong signals there. That was really my fault, so I'm sorry you thought that was the end of the interview, but
that's
it's not.
Because I talk too much, number one, and number two, I could talk to Pamela Osley about her latest book, Make Your Dreams Come True, for hours on end. Pam, I find this so fascinating, and I've come up with some alternative titles. You could also call it Change Reality, or you could call it Create Your Own Future. I mean, you literally are just creating by your thought.
Right. Gee, where were you when we were trying to choose a name for this book?
No, I like Make Your Dreams Come True.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely do. But I see applications everywhere. And I'm really excited about it.
Thank you. It really is an exciting. It's fun when people start realizing that they can affect their lives. Most of us have been raised to believe that this is just the way life is, and you have to put up with certain things, and it's a struggle, and money's a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And to finally discover that you have say over your life, you have creative power over your life, to me is very exciting, and it's very freeing.
Incredible. Really. Bruce, how are you feeling about your newfound freedom? You could create absolutely any future you choose, because you really do.
As it was said to me once before, don't create any tigers. You know, that's of course. And as I've said many times, and again, of course, Pam and I are always kind of like at odds on this one. I always say that the development of your consciousness has a lot to do with your ability to manifest. Of course, we've never really disagreed on that, have we?
Well, you know what's really funny is I know there's a lot of people that I'm going to call young souls, and they really don't have a clue, and boy, do they manifest easily. You would think that the more advanced you get, the easier it would be to manifest, but I'll tell you, some of the more intelligent, together, almost metaphysical people that I see, that I know, trip over themselves more in their manifestations than some of the simple people.
But it could be that the reason that they trip over themselves is because after creating many tigers over many lifetimes, they've decided that it's a rough way to go. And so they're being very cautious about using their beliefs or using their power, using their belief power and manifesting. Because after all, it's fun, you know, to say, hey, I can do this. And then after you do it, you go, wow, I should never have done that.
Yeah, well, you know what, Bruce? That is one way to look at it. That is one belief system.
Now, you know that's my belief system,
well,
right?
It's interesting because one of the most terrifying beliefs that I see out there is people are terrified of abusing their power. And that's one of the biggest places that we trip up, because we think that we're bad or we're not enough, and so we could screw up, we could abuse our power, and that is rampant in our belief system.
So dead air. That was dead air.
I created too many tigers in too many lifetimes, and now I'm being really careful because I think I screwed up.
I was just agreeing with you and wondering.
She was shaking her head, but she wasn't saying
where that comes from. How deep that goes back into our psyche and our history of
well,
as humans.
You know what? It's perpetuated. It could start even in this lifetime, even as children. Now, I believe that we're given beliefs. We're taught things for our protection and our education to help us survive here so that we don't run out in the street or touch fire or whatever it is. And also our education to help us, you know, help us act as humans here, help us get along with other people. So we're taught things for our education and our survival. But what a lot of these things turn into is limiting beliefs. All of a sudden we're afraid that, oh my gosh, I wasn't old enough to do that, I can't touch that, I'm not smart enough, I'm not big enough, I'm not old enough, and it translates into, over our lifetime, I'm not enough. Or don't break that, that's bad, and if you do that, I won't love you anymore. So then we translate things into, I'm a bad person, I screw up, I could hurt people. So even from this lifetime, we're given beliefs that turn into limiting beliefs about ourselves, and then we hold back on our own power, thinking that we're bad or we could screw up.
You know, the interesting point now, of course, is that if you believe in linear time, then of course there were past lives. But as I, you know, that my belief system has always been that there's no such thing as linear time. As a result,
I agree with you.
As a result, there's no before or after, so you can literally live before you lived and after you lived and at the same time, and it all happens at the same time in my belief system, as you know.
Well, same with mine. I believe in multidimensional realities, and there's no such thing as time, and so those.
Of course, it gets kind of confusing because when you live in a world where everyone is linear, and there's a before and an after.
There is that mass belief,
That mass belief in time and linear, and it's sort of like seeing, like, you know, 500 TV stations going on at the same time. We focus on one so we can get the story, we can get the movie, we can get the picture. We have the access to seeing all 500 of those TVs at one time, but it's sort of confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So we choose to focus on one at a time, and then we've agreed to this time linear concept.
I remember interviewing Al Bielek one time, the guy, the Philadelphia experiment guy.
Yes.
Anyway, and we talked about time lock, and he said the time lock, and I think actually Nikola Tesla was one of the people who said that the time lock is very important, because if you don't have a time lock, then you don't know where you are in any of your particular lives. So we all have a time lock, and we have to be very, very careful. Now, the reason I brought up time lock is because I guess there's some destruction you can do to a time lock by certain types of, let's say, electromagnetic waves. And where am I going with this?
Yeah, I was going to say, here comes Bruce's belief that you got to be careful because bad things happen here.
No.
Yeah, Pam, do you know where he's going
with
this? That was
not my... No, you're losing it. That was not where I was going.
You have to be careful with those time locks.
No, I was talking about electromagnetic waves, because after all, we're all living in a world where there's a tremendous amount of electromagnetic waves going around.
Aren't we electromagnetic waves?
Yeah, but not like the ones that they're creating. Like the government uses the, here we go, now the conspiracy stuff starts coming.
I need to stop him
all right,
we get too
go
far
ahead,
off track.
Gotcha, yeah.
I just wanted to mention before.
Because we really have 2 minutes or 3 minutes
before
roughly.
Before we close, there, you did touch on a great point though, Bruce.
Thank you.
There is.
Tell me what it was.
There is an advantage in mass beliefs. It gives us all a certain place to start from, like a jumping off point. So the belief that time is linear, or any belief that we all share, it almost seems that there are certain beliefs that are positive in that way, just to give us all a shared reality.
Right. And then we, based on that shared reality, then we can create from there. We can create any movie we want within this perception of what reality is that we've all agreed on experiencing this time.
And then if there are little avenues we kind of want to take off on, like Bruce, we could do that.
Yeah.
I like what you said, because, you know, it's almost reminding me of Jerry Springer at the end of one of those shows he does, where he actually, like, makes sense out of these people.
He tries to come up with a moral to why people do what they do.
Why do people do what they do? You know what's nice, though, about what you said, and I just want to say it. You brought up a point which is important to me, is I believe that after we've talked about this, that's the purpose of the shared belief. To keep us all locked together in line until you're, let's say, evolved enough, if that's the right word, to start stepping away from that experience.
Yeah, you can start on the same page and create from there. Did you like that, Pam?
I use different words than Bruce. Basically, I believe we're here out of choice, not because we have to until we get evolved. I feel like we'll stay doing these movies until we go, I think I'll choose differently next time.
Hmm.
I don't believe we have to, but this is where Bruce and I always differ. I believe that we came from a place of total consciousness, of God, of being with God, of being with total, you know, awareness. And what we did was go, I want to try this movie out because this seems like fun.
To experience it.
Yeah, so it's not, just for the experience. I don't get that we have to learn lessons so that we can be evolved and go back, you know, go to God finally. I believe that's where we started from.
Pam, you have a website. Tell our listeners what it is.
It's auracolors.com.
Aura, A-U-R-A?
Uh-huh, Aura Colors, A-U-R-A-colors.com.
Ah.
And that's where I can pick up my copy of Make Your Dreams Come True or Life Colors. Pam, it's always a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thanks. You guys are a lot of fun.
Hey, Pam, thanks a lot. We'll talk later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, for the rest of you, Timeless Voyager Radio, that's what you've been listening to. Joni Carroll, do you have anything you want to tell our listeners before we shut this thing off?
Well, just that if you enjoyed today's show, you're not going to believe what we'll be talking about tomorrow. It's that belief system thing.
Boy, what a hook. What a hook. I tell you what, folks, I'm not even going to tell you who it is, but tomorrow is one of those days where you will wish you weren't at work listening to the show if you're at work. If you're home, you're not going to be able to go to sleep. So
and
with that,
we're not going to tell you if that's good or bad.
No, it is good. The website is www.timelessvoyager.com. Joni, love doing the show with you, you know that.
Can we do this again?
Absolutely.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
We'll be back.
All right. Bye, everybody.